The night is certainly a strange one. Only a few hours ago, both of you were in a carriage, hopefully on your way to Baldur's Gate. Now you are in a very strange place, investigating a house. You are currently in a long, dark corridor, completely silent, except for the sound of your breathing and the creaking of the floorboards. There are again some pictures on the walls of various landscapes, pictures of towns with houses looming over them, stormy nights. The corridor extends to the south and north. You look to your left and think you see a door. Yes, there's definitely a door to the left and another door there as well. You think to yourself that one of those doors probably actually leads back to the entrance foyer. That would make sense. There are also several doors along the left side of this corridor. And finally, a bigger door at the very end of the corridor. And there's a little door near that as well. So you seem to have several places you can go.
I just quickly open that door that I think leads back, just to orientate myself.
Yes, you quickly move over in that direction and once again find yourself in the foyer, a lot darker now. You can hear the two women inside this parlour getting ready for whatever they're going to do.
As I stand there in the doorway, I say, Griffin Hills. Griffin Hills. Have you heard of Griffin Hills?
I have not. None of the names of the places around here match anything I've heard before. We must have ended up someplace very strange. Could this be some kind of dimension door we've entered or something like that? We cannot be on the Sword Coast, though. That doesn't make any sense.
Even if he journeyed us into the Wood of Sharp Teeth... No. Too many places, too many names. Yes, I think maybe we passed some kinds of barriers, yes? Maybe somehow horses and the driver did not. Just us and the cart, and we ended up somewhere else's.
I think that might be the case, yes. That would explain a lot of things. But more importantly, though, if that is the case, how do we get back?
I go up to the next door down the corridor to open it while I say, yes, that will be a problem to be solved. But can you imagine him, the driver, suddenly the cart disappearing, he falling on his bottoms?
And that would be inconvenient, to be sure. At least he has horses.
Alto, roll me an insight check.
18.
Something else strikes you as odd suddenly. You're talking with these two twins. They've been talking very casually about spirit wardings and speaking with the dead. Like, very casually. Like, you talk about maybe there being a few wolves in the woods, that sort of thing.
And yeah, those two, they are peculiar, aren't they? They speak of ghosts and of spirits as though they were everyday occurrences. Perhaps they're ghost hunters of some kind? That's the only thing I could imagine. It's not as if you've come across those things very often.
I did not think of that. What if the place we are in now, it is more normals, say?
Perhaps the barriers between life and death are thinner here.
Well, we're not home in Argonessen, that's for sure. I open the door.
You open the door nearest to you, which would be to your left, and see it leads into quite a large gallery. Moody landscapes and dour busts sit atop marble pedestals collecting dust in this little gallery. There is an alcove here to the east, where there's a larger-than-life onyx statue of some man wrestling with some dark, tentacled creature. To the west, a wall made of black stone curves into this room, and an archway opens into a space beyond. The stonework there suddenly seems different. You recall from outside that this whole building was attached to a large tower. Maybe this is that tower, or at least the bottom of it.
I'd start looking around for valuables.
Well, as you look around, these paintings could certainly fetch a pretty penny, although they're all very big. You'd probably be able to carry one, and that's about it. Unless you started loading up that wagon outside with paintings. Also, the statues are quite heavy, but again, they could be valuable to someone.
Yes. How to make it back, I mused to myself. This way, maybe? Maybe up to the towers.
Alto, what are you doing as Bex begins looking around this quiet gallery? Again, unless you have done something, it is completely pitch dark in here. You've got your dark vision, but it is a bit difficult just seeing things in the dark.
I suppose I try to find a torch or candles of some kind as well. Help Bex.
You know, light cantrip, yes? You used it before, I remembers.
Yes, I do. I was thinking to do it naturally, but there doesn't seem to be anything around here. Alright. I snap my fingers and I cast my light cantrip.
The room lights up a little now that you have your light cantrip spell active. It's a bit easier to see. And as Bex is looking around at these curios, you then also just notice, just near this archway, where the stonework does indeed change, you hear a tapping sound. You just look to your right and just hear, somewhere behind a bookshelf, there's a bookshelf here, there's something's tapping.
What is that? I move closer to the sound.
You move closer to the sound. It's not a tapping. It's a scratching. A scratching sound just behind the bookshelf. If you just poke your head forward a little, you probably can look behind the bookshelf and see. There's definitely, yes, there's something scratching. Like a rat, maybe, or something. What is it?
Hate rats. I move back a little bit, and then I look around to see what's there.
And as you lean back and look, it stops. You look behind the bookshelf, just a little, and you can't see anything, and the scratching seems to have stopped.
What? I heard scratching. Like there was something alive behind there. Maybe just rats, I guess. Yeah, surely. This place is old. There must be all kinds of critters living in the walls here.
Alto, as you turn to face Bex, who is responding to you, and Bex, you are responding to them. Alto, before you is a figure clad in armor. Their helmet is shaped like a skull. They are carrying a large battle axe. They reach forward with a gauntleted hand to grip you by the neck, and a voice coming from this being says, "In you go, boy!"
I try to avoid if I can.
You stumble back and fall, trying to avoid this figure. Bex, you were talking to Alto, and suddenly, he has fallen to the ground. What do you do?
I fling my arms out into a battle stance. What? What happened? What? And I look around the room, trying to see something.
You get ready and look around the empty room. It's an empty room, Bex. And Alto, you're there on the ground, and there's no one there. You've just fallen to the ground.
I saw something, though. There was a being, a man, and was wearing a skull-shaped helmet and a battle axe. He had a battle axe. This is not good. It's some kind of spirit, I'm certain. Yes.
What did he do?
He told me, in with you, boy. And he was going to take me into something. He was going to take me from this place. I didn't like it.
Maybe we go back and tell the others.
Yes. I suppose so, although they would just tell us that there are spirits here. We haven't actually seen anything, I just heard scratches and... Well, let's continue looking around.
Maybe they're just trying to scare you, yes? This place, if it only comes and goes, maybe they don't like the companies when they get it.
Yes, it must be. That must be the case.
Let's go up the towers.
and you move forwards, entering the dark area that seems to be this tower. It's an old tower, and there's a stone staircase that spirals up this dusty cobweb tower. And as you move forward, Alto, once again, just as you're leaving this room, you hear it again. That scratching sound. Somewhere behind the walls. You find yourself at the base of an old stone tower. You can immediately see that this tower is connected to this house, but it's clearly made of an entirely different material. The stone is dark granite and old, very old. You can hear from somewhere above the sound of wind blowing into this area. It's making a sort of low whistling sound. Sounds a little bit like someone moaning in the dark, but it is just the wind, of course.
What do you think? Maybe this house was built around this towers.
It's possible.
Material is this difference.
Yes, it certainly is strange, the way they are different.
I start moving up the stairs, if there is one.
There are indeed stairs. You begin going up into this dark tower. And up you go, and up you go. And you get about halfway, and eventually you see a little bit of a floor, and you just come to a top of a tower. Completely dark. And up here, some of the stonework has fallen away. And yes, outside you can see the darkness, the moon, and the wind blowing in. What do you do? There's nothing else really up here. It seems completely empty.
Has the moon moved anything, from what I can tell?
Maybe a little bit, yes. You can take a closer look if you like.
I do.
You look outside and you see around you, you seem to be on the edge of a great forest. And beyond that, do you think you can see nothing? Well, no, maybe sea beyond that. Far to the left, you see the road continue on and on and on, and eventually that does lead into darkness and mist. But you can definitely get a layout of the land a little more, although none of this geography is remotely familiar to you.
Well, it's hardly the Cloak Woods. I say to Alto, what are you doing?
I'm also looking around, trying to make sense of where we are, but I have come to accept that I'm not going to recognize anything because we're no longer where we're supposed to be. We are someplace very different.
Interesting, but nothing else here.
Yes, now we might need to go back downstairs, see if we can find something in one of the remaining rooms.
Yes, let's keep looking around. I'm sure they'll finish setting up soon, so maybe just go through quickly, just see if there's anything important that we don't want to miss, yes?
Yes.
And I start moving a bit quicker, with the intention to just go through all the rooms and have a glance at here or there and see if there's anything particularly either menacing or rewarding.
Certainly. You pass Alto and begin heading back down the stairs of this old tower. And as you do so, you hear the wind pick up quite suddenly. Could you roll me a strength saving throw?
16.
You feel a sharp shove from behind push down on you quite hard. You just about manage to grasp the wall and steady yourself, otherwise you were about to just fall down the stairs. What do you do?
I let out a bit of a surprised sound. All right. We best be on our guards. The spirits here could mean ill, yes.
Oh, yes.
Also, you blink a little. After all, you were a little bit behind Bex, and suddenly, yes, you felt something just come between you and... It looks like Bex almost fell down the stairs, but you look around and there's nothing there.
We best be careful. This place is not what it seems to be.
I'm not equipped to fight these sort of things. That said, we have done well before, haven't we?
We have. We will be all right. We just need to stick together.
And I start moving perhaps a little bit more cautiously than I first intended, holding on to the wall and still intending to see as much as possible of the place before we hear a signal from the sisters.
You head back down the dark tower, the wind blowing heavily behind you. You make your way back into that gallery and then back into that corridor. Looking to the immediate left of the corridor, if you are being quick about it, Bex, you'll poke your head into two old sitting rooms filled with furniture, cobwebs, books, various little ornaments, family home stuff, in your opinion. There might be valuable things, but you'd probably have to search around for quite some time in each room to find anything of true worth, and again, most of it is very big. Alto, what do you do? As Bex is poking their head in these side rooms, there is one rather interesting door at the very end of the corridor. Again, as you approach it, it's quite larger than the others. Then there's one to the right as well. And finally, the only other place would be back into the parlour. What do you do, Alto?
This larger door, it is interesting. Important things are usually hidden behind impressive large doors, so perhaps behind here. I begin touching the handle of the door, or however it's opened, and begin opening it.
You open the door, Alto, and you step into a beautiful conservatory. The sun is shining a bit dimly through the windows, and you are surrounded by all manner of green flora and fauna.
What is this? Where are we now? Bex, come look at this.
Yes, you find some things?
Bex, you begin making your way to follow Alto into this room. Alto, as you look back, you just see, then, standing by a garden area, a woman. Dressed in a long purple dress, currently holding a parasol. And she just tilts her head and looks at you. What do you do?
Hello? We don't mean to intrude.
Bex, you arrive in the room. What do you do? What's the first thing? You see Alto just staring into this dark room.
I only see a dark room?
It depends. He's currently in the doorway. To enter the room, you'll have to step past him or move him aside.
I hear him say this, though.
Yes.
I step up behind him. I look over his shoulders. What? Who are you talking to?
Alto, what do? You hear Bex say something behind you.
I look around. What did you say?
You see Bex, and then when you turn, you are in an old, abandoned conservatory. It is dark here. The vines have long since overgrown and completely cover the walls, and there is no one here.
This place, it was alive. I must have seen some kind of vision, some whisper from the past. There was a woman here. She was wearing beautiful clothes, perhaps the lady of the house.
I look at Alta with my cold grey eyes, touching the teal frills on the backside of my jaw, and I wonder, do you have a good, strong, somehow, connection with spirits?
Not really. I have dabbled a little bit in the dark arts, let's say, but not much, though.
Maybe they feel this. Maybe you have more connection than you think, Seeker Altos.
Could you both roll me a perception check?
7.
6.
As you were speaking quite pleasantly, Bex, to Alto, and Alto, you are distracted and maybe even a little confused. You've both just stepped a little into the room to have your conversation, and you just hear a rattling sound before you both notice a bit too late. Plant pots and old tools suddenly fly off the walls and strike you both in the head and the legs. Both of you take 2 piercing damage. I'd also then like you to roll a strength saving throw. Both of you.
That is 0.
12.
Bex, you stumble back into the doorway, having just been struck by something. Not terribly painful but irritating. Alto, you, on the other hand, stumble further into the room and you fall into the vines, and suddenly they spring to life. Strange black vines begin writhing and covering your body, forcing themselves upon your neck and beginning to choke the life out of you, trying to draw you into this ancient brown bush. What do you do?
I try to scream, help, help.
Bex, you suddenly blink and notice that Alto is being devoured, crushed. You're not quite sure, but something in a bush is just trying to pull him in.
You stay off him. And I toss a firebolt towards it.
You toss a firebolt towards this ancient shrubbery, which immediately ignites, covered in flame. Of course, Alto, you feel the heat and take 5 fire damage as suddenly you are covered in burning foliage.
Ah! I'd scream. I try to break loose somehow. There's not much else I can do. I just try to break loose.
Well, luckily for you, this is easily done because the foliage is now on fire and you manage to stumble forwards. The foliage shivers a little, rapidly being consumed by flame, although you notice very quickly that the flame then stops spreading through the room. It really should spread through the room, but it's almost like there's a gust of wind and the flames die out. But nothing is moving now. You hear a crack sound and notice that obviously this conservatory had windows once, and they are now broken windows. It's scrawled in them in some sort of red substance is a word. Intruders. What do you do, Bex? You step back and notice that your fire bolt seems to have set this thing alight, but then your fire is put out and Alto is free, although injured a little.
I look up towards the ceilings and the glass and the message that is appearing, and I distractedly say, I hope you weren't burnt too badly, but I feel very wary.
I'm okay, but that wasn't very pleasant. I have to be very careful, this place is alive.
I'm sorry, I'm not used to working with others still. And I look down at you, and then look at the rest of the room. Is there another way out from here?
No, this conservatory is all there is. Looking around the room, though, you do notice something strange. There's one plant that's actually alive. As you squint, yes, there's a flourishing plant in here. Just one.
This might mean some things, I murmur to myself, and I start moving towards it. As I do, I say, what exactly was it you saw in here?
This was green, verdant. There was plants growing here. It was beautiful. It was alive. In a good way. And there was a lady here, dressed in fine clothes.
And fine clothes? Were they purples?
Yes, they were, actually.
Did you see anything around her neck? I am now moving up to the sign of life.
To be honest, Alto, you can't remember. It was such a, almost like a second, you think. You saw that vision for like a second.
I don't know. Maybe. I can't tell.
And I'm now looking at the plant.
And you look at this plant. Could you roll nature for me? Or medicine?
Sure. I'll go with nature, which I'm not proficient in, but I did roll a 16.
It's funny, it's not really your expertise, but this isn't that rare a plant. Belladonna. Yes, belladonna. You think it's maybe a medicinal? Or just a nice plant? But you know the name. It's called belladonna. And it's healthy and alive. Everything else here is dead.
Belladonna. This is belladonna, Saltos.
No, is it now? Do I know anything about what belladonna is for, what it can do?
It's a plant, or you think it's medicinal? It's a nice plant, you think? It's strange, it's alive. That's very strange.
Perhaps another illusions, or it somehow is warded against it. I would like to take this with me, I say, and I reach out my hands towards... Is it in a planter? What is it in?
It's in a little plant pot.
A little pot. I reach out my hands to pick up the pot.
And you pick it up, and you have now a small little belladonna plant in your hands. As at this point, you hear some calling from the entrance to this area, as Laurie emerges in the dark with a lantern. Hello, are you two all right? What's all that sound?
We had a bit of an accident. There's things in this house. If you might have figured that out already.
Well, yes, definitely. But we did say not to go too far. Are you all right?
Huh. I'll live.
All right, well...
He's a bit burnt, but the aggressive plants in here seem to have calmed down.
She shines a light over the dying plants in the room and sniffs a little. Well, they don't look like aggressive plants to me. More likely, something was moving them. All right, you two. Let's go back to the parlor, I think. Let's reconvene. About what you two getting suddenly murdered.
Look at this. I found the belladonnas.
Laurie looks at it rather strangely. Huh. That's interesting. Why would a belladonna plant be thriving here?
It's the only thing that survives, it seems. I thought somehow maybe it's relevance.
Laurie nods and motions for you to come back. Do you follow?
I do.
Yes.
You are led back, keeping in mind there was still one more door you hadn't gone through, just to your right, but you are led past that and once again are back in that parlour.
Can I... shove it open with my foot, a bit discreetly?
You certainly can, and you just glimpse beyond what looks like a very large room. But to see more, you'd have to enter it, but it looks quite large. Lovely, polished floor, you notice.
Well, this is interesting. Perhaps later, I think to myself, having literally my hands full.
As you're about to turn, though, you do think you notice some movement in this room. You could always look a little more. The others are right in front of you, after all.
Hang on, I say. There's something's here. I put down the plant next to the door.
You enter this room, and again, in the dark, it's hard to see. But do you think, yes, there's a lovely pattern on this polished wooden floor. Do you think you can see a little stand for something? Some sort of stage? It's a very large room. And as you sort of step in, you're just thinking this, and you just hear behind you a voice say,
"Well now, lad, will you be standing with Lady Silvera, or will you accept her fate?"
I twist around.
You can't see anyone there. What do? You feel, though, a breathing, and you can also hear whimpering. There are people whimpering and saying, No, please, no. No, mercy, mercy. What do?
I shudder and I say, what would you prefer?
I'd prefer you watch her fate. Do you agree?
What has she done to deserve this fate?
Answer! Answer now!
Yes, I will see her fate.
And you hear a dull scream. A woman's voice just scream in your ear. Make me a wisdom saving throw.
13.
You fall to the ground as you hear this scream. There's a word in the scream. Traitor! And your ears bleed heavily as you take 10 psychic damage from this sudden ear-piercing shriek in your ears.
I touch the folds of my ears and I twist on the floor in agony. I didn't know.
Alto, you were just about to enter the parlour room with Laurie and you just suddenly hear Bex just screaming to himself.
Bex?
You go and you find him in this room on the ground. Just, what do?
I move up to him. Bex, are you alright? I try to lift him up.
I accept your hand. Ah, yes. Yes, I just... The voice, a manly voice, and then a woman's.
You saw something too, I guess.
I listen for anything now.
You're in a dark room, and you can't hear anything. In fact, your ears are ringing. Alto, you notice one of Bex's ears is bleeding a little. Just a bit of blood coming out.
Oh, that doesn't look good. I point to your ears. You're bleeding.
It doesn't feel good either. Something attacked me. I look around the room warily.
And again, just an old room. With your vision, Alto, you think a ballroom of some kind. Yes, maybe, like, it's quite a large empty space other than a little stage.
This used to be a ballroom.
He asked if I wanted to let her have her fate, Lady Silvra.
Maybe she's the one I saw then, Lady in Purple.
I got scared. I accepted. She got angry. My ears hurt.
Maybe we'd best stick close to Jennifer and Laurie.
Again, at this point, Laurie has rushed into the room. You two, what's wrong? Stick together, stick together! Goodness me, are you all right? I think you've been injured.
Yes, something talked to me. Maybe it will be relevant later, I don't know.
Right, okay, you two, please just follow me. I'm getting a little concerned about you two now. You seem to be getting both a little bit in trouble here. So just stick together and stick with me. I've got something for your ear. Oh dear, that's not very good. No, don't worry. And she takes out a sort of handkerchief from her pocket and proceeds to dab your ear a little, so at least the blood is stemmed.
I take it and I start holding it against my ear as I kneel down to pick up the pot of the belladonna.
You are led back into the parlour. At this point, several candles have been lit in this room. Jennifer looks over at you two and looks slightly concerned. Are you two okay? What's going on out there? Been engrossed in trying to make this room safe?
A bit of spirit activities.
You can say that, yes.
Oh, I see. Yes, no, this room is largely protected, but I have a feeling most of the rest of the house is not. Still, you need to be careful. You can't be letting minor spirits like this hurt you. What are you going to do if something worse comes?
Yes, something worse. We have, I have had a name. Lady Silvra, I say as I look up towards the portrait I saw before.
Laurie looks a bit confused. Lady Silvra? Interesting. Okay, we'll make a note of that. I mean, we've got these notes here. She gestures over to the table. You do see that it seems like while you two have been exploring, they have been actually setting up quite a little thing here. The table is lit with candles, the spirit board ready, and there's a bunch of parchments and little notebooks that they've assembled from somewhere. So, well, you see, the thing is, the Halverists were the ones who built the house. They were the ones who disappeared 50, 60 years ago. But no one was called Silver, so that's a bit strange. But the lady of the house was, well, that's Feodora, I think, in the picture, I think.
Oh, I see. Well, we also find that the central towers is built from a different material, some stones. Perhaps this house is a newer addition to something far older, yes?
Jennifer, who's sitting down at the table, nods. Yes, no, that's correct. The Halverists... Well, this land just appeared, and they decided to build a house on it. Very silly, if you ask me, but, you know, land is tricky to come by, and they obviously fought... Unowned land? Well, most of the land is already owned around here by the other lords and ladies of the various estates, so they wanted to make their own little place. That's at least what the records say.
I glance over to Alto. Is it common that land just appears?
Not where we're from. Perhaps here. Could be. It's certainly possible.
Laurie sits down and nods. Yes, of course it is. Granted, it's normally a border somewhere else, but well, you know how it is. A lot of people don't travel much, but in our case, Van Richten was able to show us a few tricks. We're familiar with Darkon and Borka. Even Barovia, but that's not a place you want to travel.
I go over and I put the potted belladonna on the table next to the other things.
Jennifer leans forward. Where'd you find that? It's belladonna.
Yes, I recognized it as well, though I don't know the uses for it. It was in a conservatory. Only thing left living.
How interesting. Maybe it's a sign of good luck. I mean, other than being a good plant for healing, of course it's also the symbol of Ezra.
Ezra?
Yes, the god Ezra, the god of the mists. Yes, well, yes, god of the mists, protector of the mists, a little bit vague sometimes, I feel.
Maybe this god has a presence in this house.
Well, if it does, that will certainly help. Ezra normally tries to protect the spirits of the mists as much as she can, at least that's what her followers say. Granted, some people disagree. The mists, after all, aren't exactly pleasant. Laurie leads forward. Yes, but, well, that is where we all will go eventually, so it's not all bad.
I nod politely and, hurting quite badly still, I sit down on one of the chairs and I keep dabbing at my ears.
Laurie nods. Right. Well then, sister, are you ready? The sister nods and begins to sort of mumble something to herself as she extends her hands to everyone. Laurie looks at the pair of you. Right. Well, who wants to hold the crystal? You've done this before, haven't you?
I look a bit skeptical as I put down the handkerchief and I say, if Alto doesn't say anything, I look at you first. And if you don't say anything, I will say, I will hold it.
Very good. You hold it first. Again, we'll all put our hands on it. As my sister begins the basic incantations, we will hopefully initiate contact with a spirit. What we're hoping, maybe it's Lady Silver, or, I don't know, the lady of the house. Anything we can get to find out what's actually happened here. Then from there, we can figure out how to let these ghosts move on peacefully. Or alternatively, well, find a way of getting them out of this house at least. As you've said, I've been sensing a lot of activity around here, but it's strange they're all dwelling just in this one place, so many spirits. Again, it's only a matter of time, I feel, before the Lord finds this place, and, well, if these spirits are ill intent, he will gather them to his forces.
And you would like to prevent that?
Well, yes.
Ooh, you are two rebels then.
We fight for the people of Mordantshire and the land of Mordant. The Lord may think he owns the land, but he has been long dead and should move along and let us live in peace.
Yes, yes. I reach out my hand to place it upon the crystal.
As you do so, Laurie joins you and then looks to you, Alto.
I hesitantly move my hand there as well. I'm not sure this is a great idea, but, well, here goes nothing, I guess. And I put my hand there as well.
As you join hands upon this crystal, this lens object that currently now sits in the middle of this strange little spirit board, you are then joined by Jennifer's hand, who is beginning to chant quietly to herself. Laurie then speaks first. Spirits of this house known as Halverest House, speak to us, please. We are here to help you move on from here, move to the mists, so that you can at least have some peace before you are brought back, or at least no longer dwell here. Please, let us help you. If you wish help, we will give it. Or if there's anything we can do to free you from this abode and find out what happened, please, spirits, please reach out and speak to us. The candles in the room flicker slightly. Alto, what do you do? You're holding your hand on this strange device on this board. The candles are flickering a little, but otherwise, nothing is happening.
Do I know what to do? Is there anything I can do?
I don't believe you would. You have never done this before. Again, you know that magic just does it straight away, doesn't it? Well, as long as there's a ghost there. But here, you don't know what to expect.
I just keep my hand there then and see what happens.
Bex, what do you do? The room is very still, very quiet. Once again, Laurie repeats her command to get this spirit to speak to you, but still nothing is happening. What do you do?
If nothing happens at all, I will decide to play a little pranks and try to make it move to form the word Bex.
You feel your finger move and you start going to the letter B. And suddenly, you just feel of resistance. Someone's resisting. You don't know if it's Laurie or Alto, but someone is stopping you just putting it on B.
I feel a little frustrated. This would be a fun prank, yes? And I look at the others in suspicion.
You can't sense the others trying to stop you moving the crystal. But you do, as you're looking, notice the candles in the room begin to flicker. It's almost as if there is now a light breeze in this room for a moment. But the breeze seems to be coming from all around you. There is a large creak then from somewhere in the house. You all hear this. Then, somewhere far away, you begin to hear other sounds. Something that sounds like someone pleading for mercy. Maybe. Then the sounds of something being scraped along the ground, something heavy, metallic. Sounds of heavy footsteps. Many heavy footsteps, suddenly from somewhere above or to the left, to the right, you're not quite sure. Then Alto, you hear that scratching sound again. Only this time, it is coming from all around you. For a moment, it almost sounds like the masonry itself is ever so slightly being moved or being chipped at by something. Maybe by that scratching. Bricks grinding against each other. Suddenly, all these sounds stop. And the room is deadly silent. But you can all feel that something in the room has changed. It's almost the feeling that you get when someone is standing right behind you. Yes, you can all feel that right now. But if you turn to look, you will see no one there. But you can still feel it. You definitely are no longer alone in this room.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played House of Lament from Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. The music was created by Metatron Omega, Word Clock, and Flowers for Body Snatchers, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check them out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more music for your table. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Horshobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, and Bob DeLang for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, this show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of Entity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, dread awaits beyond the mists.